Okay, well, the forum retreat has gone very well. It's a good communique that's come out of it. A Pacific plan has been adopted in its entirety, and the leaders see that as a good path ahead. I advise the leaders of the new aid initiatives, which New Zealand Aid is funding in the Pacific. They were all well received, and overall I think it's been very positive.
Ms. Clark, is this additional money to what was voted in aid earlier than
that? My understanding is these are the allocations from this year's increased aid budget. Obviously the one for HIV/AIDS strategy and work is very significant. So is the money for the Pacific Judicial Development Program, which is a joint program with Australia. We're further topping up the trust fund for Tokelau. That will now stand at $19 million with the Australian contribution of $5 million announced and New Zealand's further contribution of $3 million. Got to be remembered that a trust fund like this is absolutely essential for a small island nation without obvious sources of revenue. It has worked well for Tuvalu, and this fund is a similar model. In addition, there's other money allocated in these initiatives for the Customs Organisation Secretariat for the South Pacific and some work for dealing with the avian flu preparedness.
Just what have you been most pleased with that came out of the forum and the plans were endorsed this time round?
I think the very careful work which has gone into the Pacific Plan and the consultation that's gone on from the very beginning with the Eminent Persons Group, the development of the plan, the priorities, the initiatives, all that preliminary work has paid off with the forum leaders being happy to proceed with it.
Just to clarify, Ms. Clark, is that $12 million for AIDS funding, is that new money, because that was the figure that we understood had been in existence already?
There was new money for development assistance in the budget. It's only in recent weeks that the Minister has signed off on specific initiatives, and these initiatives were supplied to me by New Zealand Aid as new initiatives to be announced at this forum.
Do you think that that funding will have an impact? It seems like, as you saw the other day, it's a pretty frightening and big problem of the year. Do you think that that money will have some impact?
Well, the situation is dire, but you can't do nothing, as I said a few days ago. So money that goes into helping countries develop effective strategies, actually fund some specific initiatives on the ground, is all very helpful. Other countries are also prioritising this area. Australia certainly is, the EU is, other donors will.
Prime Minister, how would the Pacific plan actually make a difference in the slums and villages across the Pacific? I've read the plan and I see nothing that people in the shacks around the place are going to say, yee-haw, they're going to do something for us tomorrow.
Well, the issue is how to get economic growth and development, and that is a package. It's a package about better governance. It's a package about economic growth and development. It's a package about dealing with basic education and sustainable development issues. So, of course, it has an impact over time, and I think it is the way to go.
The plan's been said to be quite lightweight, though. Do you think this has been one of the better forums?
No, it's not lightweight. It's 22 major initiatives, and they're all big initiatives, and they're going to take a tremendous amount of work to implement.
Did the West Papua issue come up, and were the leaders presented with the petition by Greg Irwin from the West Papua group?
The Papuan issue wasn't raised by leaders at all. The Secretary-General, of course, received the NGO forum report, which he would normally make available at the forum this morning. But no, the Secretary-General hasn't presented petitions on Papua.
Because he received a whole group of copies of a report, which is the same report that you received at the NGO meeting, and was asked to present them to the leaders. So you're saying that they didn't receive them?
No, they didn't receive them.
Ms. Clark, did you discuss your seasonal permit concerns with those leaders further and get any closer to a decision on whether or not they will be delivered?
The communique that comes out today refers to leaders agreeing that the issue of labour mobility should continue to be considered within the context of individual countries' immigration policies. I think our position's well understood that New Zealand has not cherry-picked people from the Pacific. specific. We've had quotas where people go into a ballot. Anyone from the least skilled to the most skilled can have their number drawn out, and then if they can be linked with a job opportunity in New Zealand, they're able to come to our country. So we have long provided a vehicle for legal migration to New Zealand.
Prime Minister, talking about migration, Tito Phillip Field is in the news again today about the number of times he asked Damien O'Connor to intervene and help process some of the applications. Any comment on that?
It's not surprising that he would take up a lot of cases because he represents a part of Auckland with people from many ethnic communities, including from the Pacific, and they will all be queuing at the MP's electorate office door for some attention.
So are the other MPs would have processed the same number of applications possibly?
I think a Pacific Island New Zealand MP in an electorate like his one would get an undue number of applications.
And even European MPs, perhaps like Matt Robson, would have processed similar numbers?
Well, I can't comment because I haven't seen the list.
Ms Clark, there still seems to be an absence of any detail in just how this plan is going to be applied.
You have a plan, you set up objectives, you've got implementation plan agreed there. It's up to the governments now to take action on it.
There's not been a great record of implementation of past initiatives. Is there anything that gives you confidence that implementation is more likely with
What gives me confidence is that when the Pacific leaders agreed to go down this path 2 years ago, there was a widespread awareness that the Pacific ran the risk of drifting backwards in a fast-developing globalised world, and that's not acceptable to Pacific leaders.
Helen, in terms of the lack of discussion about West Papua after you and Greg Irwin indicated that it would probably be discussed, have you had any views on why West Papua seems to be such a difficult issue for the Pacific to grapple with?
In the past, it has been raised, not every year. Normally, it's raised by countries involved with the Melanesian spearhead group, either Solomons or Vanuatu. They haven't raised it to date. If it is raised, New Zealand will certainly contribute to the discussion, and we will always assist with wording which calls on both sides in the conflict in West Papua to uphold human rights and resolve their differences peacefully. We also believe that special autonomy holds a way ahead for Papua.
John Howard seems to think there's some virtue in not discussing it, and not discussing it with Papua New Guinea itself, which we're obviously in Papua New Guinea here today. It seems that it's a very obviously a clear and present issue for the Papua New Guineans. It seems a bit rude not to discuss it.
It's a question of people raising it. And we came to the forum understanding that some other governments would raise it. That hasn't happened today.
Prime Minister, are you concerned at all that the next year's forum is going to be in Tonga? And can you just update us as to how your discussions went with the Tongan foreign minister? You were going to raise concerns about the democracy progress. Now the forum's actually going to be in Vavao next year. We have to get there on the Crown Prince's airline. It seems to me that the forum's not following the democratic track in Tonga anyway.
Well, the normal course is for the alphabetical order to be followed. And it so happens that last year Samoa came up to take the forum because Niue couldn't. Niue still isn't in a position to pick up its slot. Papua New Guinea's time could have been last year when Niue opted out for obvious reasons, post-cyclone Heta. But Papua New Guinea wanted it this year. The next in order logically and alphabetically would be Solomon Islands, but they don't feel in the position to take it. It would therefore fall to Tonga, and Tonga has indicated it wants to pick up that position.
Prime Minister, has an apology been made to Tulaipa for the faux pas that was made the other night?
Well, that's nothing to do with the New Zealand government, I'm afraid.
Sorry, what did you say to the Foreign Minister of Tonga? What did he say to you?
Obviously we expressed concern about the affordability of the public sector pay round. We know the Tongan government has grave concerns about that in the out years. We also expressed an interest in what steps would be taken to further the democratic process, which was also part of the agreed outcome for the strike.
Ms Clark, money has been given for the avian bird flu issue, and obviously it's in Indonesia. Are the Pacific states actually prepared? Do they have the resources to deal with the potential outbreak?
They're all concerned about it. They all want to work together and with Australia and New Zealand to get the best strategies they can for dealing with it. That's why Australia's announced more assistance for that, and so have we.
In that respect, $2.8 million is roughly 50% per person in, over the coming year in the Pacific region. I mean, is that going to be seriously enough to deal with an issue?
I don't think it's useful to look at it per head of population. The issue is to get effective response plans in place. Our officials have been dealing with this over quite a number of months. We have prepared a plan, and that means we're in a good position to share what we believe to be best practice. So others are perfectly welcome to take the intellectual property we've developed and take it forward.
Clearly New Zealand will be spending a great deal more, though, in protecting our population than the Pacific Islands are capable of spending in protecting theirs. And if an epidemic like this is potentially catastrophic for small island nations.
Well, the first thing is to get an adequate strategy in place. New Zealand, of course, as a first world country, has been in the position of being able to stockpile some vaccine. But we have also made it clear that if outbreaks occur elsewhere, then we're prepared to look at sharing what we have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.